Question. Aren't you glad you're saved? Nothing like it. The haven of rest. I'm going to be with the Lord. What a thrill. 1 Corinthians, please. We continue a subject that we have been studying before. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 26 and 27. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, shadow boxing, but I discipline my body, bring it under subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I should be disqualified. And that's our subject, on being disqualified. I'm not a sports fan. Some of you may be. I don't criticize you. I learned that your team lost yesterday. The Redskins were disqualified. Not very pleasant, is it? We have looked at Moses, mighty man of God. But he was disqualified on two counts. The Lord said, speak to the rock, and he spoke to the people, and then he hit the rock. Do you know he's going to be in heaven? You remember the Mount of Transfiguration? He was there. And then we started our study of Samson. We saw that he was a Nazarite, but he never maintained his separation. We saw that his name meant shining. But he didn't shine very much, did he? But these are lessons for us. We are here this morning not to criticize Samson. Oh, we could point the finger, he did this and he didn't do that. That's not why we're studying Samson. Read with me, please, Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. We are not pointing the finger at Samson. We are to learn from his mistakes. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. That's why we're studying Samson. Not to say Samson did this and Samson did... Maybe I might do the same thing. We are studying him so that we may not make the same mistakes that Samson made. And when you turn to Hebrews chapter 11... It's amazing, as our brother has been saying, this book, it's simply amazing. Now, as we study Samson, we don't see very much there, do we? But God lists him with the heroes of faith. Isn't that amazing? God saw what we don't see. This morning, we want to consider Samson as a loner. A loner. Judges chapter 14, please. Samson was a loner. Judges chapter 14. And the lesson that we are to learn from that is that we are not to be loners. We are to be workers together. Judges chapter 14, verse 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Our brother has been speaking to us about lions. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. He rent the lion as he would have rent a kid. He had nothing in his hands. How would you approach a lion with nothing in your hands? This is a great feat. But he did it all alone. His parents didn't even know that he did it. He was a loner. Chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Samson went and caught 300 foxes. Have you ever tried to catch a fox? It's tough business catching one, and he caught 300. He must have had some stamina. But he alone, one man, caught 300 foxes, took firebrands, turned tail to tail, put a firebrand in the midst between the two tails, and so forth. Chapter 16. Verses 1 to 3. Samson went to Gaza, saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and went, laid in wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we will kill him. Samson lay all night, arose at midnight, took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them. All by himself. A loner. Chapter 16, verse 13. Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto hast thou mocked me, told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web, and she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awaked out of his sleep, went away with the pin of the beam, but he did it all alone. He was a loner. He died a loner. Verse 20. She said, the Philistines be upon thee. He awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go as at other times before and shake myself. And he knew not that God was not with him. Isn't that sad? A loner. So satisfied with his performance as a loner, God left him and he wasn't even aware. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verse 9. I remember our brother Tate, when his wife was expecting, he read these verses. Two are better than one, because they have good reward for their labor. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, he hath not another to help him. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The thought of working together. You know the old fable. Father had several sons, and they were always fighting and quarreling. And he got a bundle of sticks together and tied them. Called his sons. He said, "Son number one, break this bundle." Couldn't break it. Number two couldn't break it. None of them could break that bundle of sticks. Then he unwrapped the bundle and gave each one stick. He said, "Break it." They broke it with ease. And he said, "This is the lesson. In unity, there is strength." And we, as God's people, are called to work together. Together. It doesn't happen here. I haven't seen it here. But I've seen it in New York City. We have what I call church butterflies. You don't know what they are because you don't have them down here. But a church butterfly is a fellow who goes here, there, and everywhere. And one day I spoke to this brother. I said, "Well, what assembly do you belong to? What group are you in fellowship with?" He said, "Oh, I'm not in fellowship with any of them. I just go for here and there and wherever and get the best from all of them." And then the brother who was with me said, "Suppose you do something that requires the church to discipline you. Which church will discipline you?" And he looked. And as they say, or we used to say in New York, he got the message. We have to be in fellowship with a group of the Lord's people that we may manifest oneness. Genesis chapter 13. We are to be united, one in the Lord. Genesis chapter 13. Verse 8, Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen." Why? We're brothers. There is to be no strife among us. We are brothers. Chapter 45. Joseph, we've been speaking in the Sunday school of Jacob and Joseph. Notice verse 45. Joseph is speaking to his brothers. Chapter 45, verse 24. He, Joseph, sent his brethren away, and they departed. He said unto them, "See that ye fall not out by the way." He knew his brothers. When they wanted to destroy him, they couldn't quite decide whether to kill him or sell him. He said, "Don't fall out." Oneness, unity is to characterize the Lord's people. Psalm 133. We know this one from memory. Verse 1. Behold, And whenever I come across the word behold, I'm reminded of a brother in New York. You see, in the area where I lived, you had what you might call a mixed group. People from the Caribbean islands and people from the south of America. Now, the folks from the Caribbean islands understood Bible language. But the folks from the southern part of the United States weren't so familiar with the Bible. And one day this brother gave a text, "Behold the Lamb of God." He said, "Do you know what behold means? Behold means stop, look, and listen." I don't think the dictionary man does any better than that. Behold. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We are to be characterized by unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oneness is to characterize us. Not loners. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no schisms, no divisions, no breaking apart. Now you say, why do you say all that? Why are you bringing these points out? Aren't we together? Yes. I'm not bringing them out because we are breaking apart. I'm bringing them out to encourage us to be workers together, not loners. Chapter 12, verse 20. Now are there many members, yet one body? Your physical body has many members. And the spiritual body of the Lord Jesus Christ has many members. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Can it? Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. As you know, one of my great interests when I was practicing was the human hand. We have just read that you spend more time on the uncomely parts. Now, the ladies all know the answer to this. Which of your fingernails is the easiest to manicure? See, they know. The ring finger. Look at your ring fingernail. It has the best shape of all the nails. That requires the least attention. But the others require more attention. And so it is in the family of God. Those that seem not so important are very important. Or they may require more attention. That's true. Mark chapter 3, please. Mark chapter 3. Verse 24. If a kingdom be divided against itself, it cannot stand. The necessity for oneness in the assembly. We are to be workers together. Again, let me say, I am not saying this because we are not together. I am saying this to encourage us to be together. Workers together. Samson was a loner as a leader. But there are leaders that we read of in Scripture who were part of the people. Let's look at least one, maybe two, depending upon the time. Exodus chapter 3. That great leader, Moses. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 10. Come now, says the Lord, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people. Moses worked with the people. And all through his life you will find him working with the people, together as one. You remember the story of Gideon? He worked with the people. Gideon started out with 30,000 men. The Lord said, no, no, that's too many. Then he reduced it to 10,000. The Lord said, that's too many. And finally, the Lord reduced it to 300. Gideon and his 300. They worked together. How about the Lord Jesus Christ? He chose 12 to be with him, that he might teach and instruct them. Then he sent them out among the people, and they all worked together. And we must work together. Let me read for you. I like to collect these little things. Four people. Fred somebody. Thomas everybody. Peter anybody. And Joe nobody. Four. They were neighbors. But they weren't like you and me. They were odd people and very difficult to understand. The way they lived was a shame. All four belonged to the same church. But you would never enjoy worshiping with them. Everybody went fishing on Sunday or stayed home to visit friends. Anybody wanted to worship but was afraid somebody wouldn't speak to him. Really, nobody was the best of all four. Nobody did the visitation. Nobody entered the church building or worked in the church building. Everybody thought that anybody would do it, and anybody thought somebody would do it. You know who did it? Nobody. It happened that a fifth neighbor moved into the area. Everybody thought that somebody should try to win him for Christ. Anybody could have made the effort. And who do you think won him? Nobody. We are workers together. And each individual's part is important. I have another one here. Where's Rebecca? She collects hymns. She has favorite hymns. And I have favorite pieces of literature. This is another one. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. One nail needed, and the shoe was lost. For want of the shoe, the horse was lost. For want of the horse, the rider was lost. For want of the rider, the battle was lost. For want of the battle, the kingdom was lost, all because of a little nail. We are all important, all to work together. I'll read you one more. There are several here. I'll read you two more, all right? The master broke his left arm. The right hand said to the left hand, you are not missed. Everybody is glad it was you and not me that was broken. You are not very important. The left hand asked, how are you superior? The right hand said, my owner cannot write a letter without me. The left hand said, but who holds the paper on which he writes? The right hand says, when my master hammers, who strikes, who wields the hammer? The left hand says, who steadies the board? When the right hand, when our owner lifts his hat to greet someone, which one of us does he use? The left hand says, who holds his briefcase when he's tipping his hat? The left hand said, let me ask you a question. When our rider shaved yesterday, he used you. But he cut his face because I wasn't there to help. Also, our owner's watch has stopped. Do you know why? You may do the winding, but if I'm not there to hold it, the watch won't get wound. The left hand. You cannot take money out of the wallet if I don't hold it. The master can do few things without the left hand. The Lord needs all of us, whether we appear significant or insignificant. I said that was the last word I would read. I'm going to read one more. When I was in training, on every nurse's desk, there was a little card. Two mules tied together at the neck. There was hay on this side and hay on that side. And the two mules were pulling at each other, pulling, pulling, and digging to get to their hay. Then the two mules came together in the center and said, you know, we are acting like human beings. Let's go over to my pile and eat. And when we finish that, let's go over to your pile and eat. And after they did that, I don't know how mules look when they smile, but the picture shows them smiling. The end of a perfect day. Workers together. But we must go on. As we work together, it is necessary to keep rank. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. First Chronicles chapter 12, verse 33. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000 which could keep rank. 50,000 keeping rank. And beloved, if we are to work effectively for the Lord, we've got to keep rank. We've got to walk together. The story is told, and this happened in Paris. They have a very important street, beautiful, beautiful street, called the Champs-Élysées. Corresponds to Fifth Avenue in New York City. That's where all the parades are. And one day the soldiers were parading down the Champs-Élysées. And this mother looked out. Look at those soldiers. My son is the only one in step. He was the only one out of step. We have to walk in rank. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Keeping rank. And you know how you keep rank? Daily and frequent praying. Daily and frequent study of the Word of God. That's how we keep rank. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Keeping rank. 12 and 30. He that is not with me is against me. We usually say it the other way, huh? He that is not for me is against me. God doesn't ask us just to be for him, because you can be for the Lord and still not with him. We are to bear reproach. We are to be out there with the Lord. With the Lord. And there were some who were not with the Lord. Judges chapter 5, please. Judges chapter 5, verse 1. Then, perhaps we better go back to chapter 4 to get the reason for the joy. Chapter 4, verse 1. The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. The Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidus, she judged Israel at that time. Verse 8. Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, I will not go. She said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. The Lord shall sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Read the rest of the chapter and you'll find out that they had victory. Now chapter 5. Then sang Deborah and Barak on that day, saying, praise the Lord for the people whose leaders took the lead. But that's not the end of the story. Come to verse 15, chapter 5. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Even Issachar and also Barak, he was sent on foot into the valley. Now notice, in the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the flock? In other words, Reuben didn't go to the battle. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Verse 17. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. Why did Dan remain in sheeps? Asher continued on the seashore. None of these went with their brethren to the battle. Asher. When we were in Israel, that was back in 1973. I had the privilege of being at this place where Asher stood. Beautiful. Blue. warm water, seawater. Beautiful white beach, white sand. And I can see Asher staying there, enjoying the bathing and the sun bathing. He was so comfortable along with the others that he didn't go to battle. He was a loner. Verse 23. Curse ye Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof. Why? Because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. They stayed home. They were loners, not part of the whole. Stragglers. No, they weren't stragglers. They just stayed home. Now we'll come to the stragglers. Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25. And in this battle, in this working with the Lord, we are to work together. Deuteronomy chapter 25. Verse 17. Remember what Amalek did unto you when ye were come forth out of Egypt. How he met thee by the way and smote the stragglers, those in the rear, the hindmost. And if we don't keep up in fellowship with the Lord's people, if we straggle and lag behind, we are headed for trouble. Now, there's a lovely little piece that I want to read, and we'll soon be finished. Together. Now, some of the brothers that come to the Bible class have a copy of this. God has tempered the body together. 1 Corinthians 12 and 24. God has quickened us together, Ephesians 2 and 5. God has raised us together, Ephesians 2 and 6. God has made us to sit together, Ephesians 2 and 6. God has framed and joined us together, Ephesians 2 and 21. Let us therefore dwell together, Psalm 133. Strive together, Philippians 1. Be followers together, Philippians 3. Workers together. The result? We will be comforted together, Romans 1 and 12. We will commune together, Luke 24 and 15. We will rejoice together, Romans 12 and 15. We will be, oh, isn't this nice? We're going to be caught up together, did you know that? We're all going up together. So we might as well be together down here. We are going to be caught up together. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17. And we're going to live together for all eternity. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 10. Last scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We are not to be loners, as was Samson. We are to be workers together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm sorry, it's verse 10 of chapter 1. Verse 10 of chapter 1. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Now, verse 13. Paul asks a question. Is Christ divided? And that verse is the basis of the whole chapter. We are to be together because Christ is not divided. We are to work together, to be one together, to pursue together the things of the Lord. Now, again, I say, I have not brought these thoughts because we are not together. I have brought these thoughts to encourage us to go on together. Hymn number 595. Onward, Christian soldiers. Notice verse 2. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. Now notice, we are not divided. Is that true? All one body be. May the Lord bless us to this end, that we may go on together. Everybody is important. Everybody has a contribution to make. 595.